The Magic Podcast, hosted by Lloyd Barnes and Craig Petty. Your all-access, behind-the-scenes insight into the current happenings of the magic industry, where Craig and Lloyd will thrust themselves deep inside your ears every Wednesday to rant, dissect, and give you their raw and unfiltered views on the art of magic. So, lock your door, take out your deck, and brace yourself for the Magic Podcast.
Welcome back to the Magic Podcast with me, Craig Petty.
And me, Lloyd Barnes.
Very good. Well executed. You only came in 2 days late then.
Literally. That's what she said.
So the last time you fucked the audience over, you were shitting yourself. But it was when we just couldn't do a podcast because you were dying.
Oh, yeah. Remember. Oh, fuck, yeah. It was the death.
You're actually dead. That wasn't the reason. This time, you went on holiday, didn't you, for a few days? You decided to get away.
I thought I'd be able to do it, but when I got to... I don't know why I assumed I would fucking have good signal in West Wales, but I didn't, clearly.
I just think it's hilarious that a Welshman goes on holiday and decides to go on holiday to Wales. I'm going to go on holiday. Where am I going to go? Wales!
I'll tell you why I chose Wales, because the thought of spending longer than fucking 60 minutes in the car with a toddler who's as hyperactive as I was as a child is my worst fucking nightmare. So when it was like, throw a dart at a map, we can go anywhere in the world. I was like, let's go to West Wales. Like, fuck, hanging out with my kid in a car.
And West Wales is the hardcore part of Wales, like Porthcawl. You're kind of civilized. You're kind of not. You've got electricity, right? But when you go to West Wales, it's like where the men are men and the sheep are scared, right? I mean, that's where you go. That's where you go. Where you're proper.
The men are men and the women are too.
That's where you go.
But also, you were doing 100 mile per hour jazz hands down in London.
I was on illusion shows in London, and then I did a shoot with the 1914. You know.
Yeah, how did that go?
It went great. So I did a shoot. And this product is coming out quickly. It's coming out at the end of April. So in about 3 weeks' time.
Ooh, can you give us any...
I know. Shall we... Well, I'll give... D will probably kill me, but I don't know. It's better to ask for forgiveness than ask for permission, I suppose. It's a project all about, well, it's one of the barn busters. You know, it's one of the typical Craig Petty, sit down, make a cup of tea.
20,000 hours.
20,000 hour project. But it's all on memorized deck magic, specifically to do with predictions with playing cards. And I'll tell you for why. And there's a couple of reasons. One, I've got a lot of unique material with a memorized deck, which approaches mem deck magic in a completely different way. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to be able to put a project together to put this out, because I've been doing loads of videos on mem decks on my channel, and a lot of people are like, oh, you know, when, you know, where can I learn mem decks? And there's not really many sort of video projects that kind of delve into the area. There's books like Order to Amaze is great, and by Pitt Hartling, and you know, the Buena Vista Shuffle Club is great. Aronson's material is great. You know, there's a ton of great stuff out there. But putting it all together, but the big thing is, I think me and Dee have figured out how to actually get people to end up doing the mem deck. Because you know as well as me, Lloyd, and this is an interesting discussion, you know as well as me, you use the mem deck all the time. I use the mem deck all the time. How many people have you met that go, oh, I tried to learn it and I kind of had it, but then I forgot it and I've given up and I don't do it anymore and blah, blah, blah. How many times do you hear that? Like, oh, you know, I can't learn it. I've tried to learn it. It's impossible. Blah, stuff like that.
A million times over.
Happens all the time, right? So the idea that we have, there are teachings out there on how to actually learn to memorize a mem deck. And I go through how I learned to memorize a deck, mem deck, and how Rylan learned to memorize a mem deck. But I think the big problem is there's a big, huge, massive difference between practicing the mem deck at home and then going out and doing it in a performing situation, whether that happen to your friends and family, whether that be down the bar to your mates, whether that be in a professional gig. You know as well as me, people get nervous when they're putting a new routine in the first place. You put a new routine in and it's like you're having to now remember a whole bunch of stuff. It's easier to not do it. It's easier to go, well, you know what? I'll just stick to ambitious card because
that's default to you panic and then you go onto autopilot and you just go back. You just revert back to what you're comfortable with.
Exactly. So what we need is we need a sort of a gradual learning curve to give people confidence in using it in performing situations. So there's 9 routines on this project, and the first 3 routines are completely self-working. Although it uses a memorized deck, you don't need to know the stack at all. You don't need to use a stack. You don't need to use a crib. You don't need to use anything. You literally just have the deck, and you can go into this. And you don't normally see many mem deck routines that doesn't actually need to memorize the deck. I mean, there's some gambling things built into the moniker and stuff, but generally really strong, good routines. You don't see many of them.
Yeah, and that's just out there, but it's rare to see them as the popular routines to use with a mem deck.
So this gives people confidence because now they can take a deck out. And if they're worried that they're not going to be able to remember something, they've still got a routine or 2 routines or 3 routines that they can fall back on. Then in the second set of 3 tricks, we provide them with a gimmick that allows them to memorize the deck in real time. So now when you're going to the next level, now you've got this situation where you can go, okay, I'm going to now try this routine because I've got this gimmick with me that's going to allow me to not have to worry about if I forget it or not, because I'm still going to be able to do it because of the gimmick. And then the final 3 routines, those are the ones that require instant recall. And that's the ones that you kind of work up towards. So it's kind of like a gradual learning curve that gets you to a point eventually when you're really comfortable using a mem deck. So that's the whole idea of it.
So it's got something for everyone in then.
Yeah. And it's a typical 1914 shoot. There's like 15 cameras, 45 people.
The total opposite to a Lloyd Barnes, Craig Petty shoot, where it's I just stick a camera on you and say, fucking go.
Yeah, it's Lloyd with a ring light.
That's literally it. A broken ring light, though.
Broken ring light. That's the important thing.
Always a broken ring light. Magic. Like this one right now. Broken.
A broken ring light, yeah. But
I can't wait to see that, though, because I do. I think you showed me one of the routines that's going to be on there back in the London Magic Convention.
That's on there, yeah.
I love that routine. I love that routine a lot, like to the point where I actually sat down and spent like a portion of the day learning that routine at a one-day convention with someone that I talk to every single day. I chose to sit down and spend time learning that routine, which probably not the most cost-effective use of my time on that day ever, but a very good trick, and everyone's going to love that.
Oh, thank you. Well, you will get an advanced copy, of course, when I get an advanced copy.
I can't wait to get my advanced copy of Chop and the Other Thing.
Oh, the Other Thing.
Well, I'm running low on material to perform on my weekly segment called Fooler. So I need, I want to perform Chop on the wife.
We've got it here. So we're going to be sending it out to you today.
Oh, yes. Because then I'll put it on the channel. And I want to see what Katie did. I've never done anything like a Chop Cup routine to her. So, which is quite a fortunate position to be in. Like most people would have performed that sort of material on their friends and family. I've never shown it because I've never done it. So I'm excited to see.
I've never seen
a Chop Cup style routine. And maybe like obviously cups and balls you've seen on TV and things, but yeah, so it's going to be a really unique experience from my point of view.
I can't wait to see what Kaylee thinks. And talking about your channel, dude, congratulations on hitting 10,000. I mean, it took me a year and a half. It took you 3 months. So well done.
Thanks, man. No, but you know, yeah. What I'm doing is, it's like I'm riding in your slipstream in your wake. So you've opened up the doorway for good content on YouTube and people to now be like reinvigorated. And I'm just jumping in the slipstream and being dragged.
And now you're going to fucking blast right past me at a million fucking miles an hour. And I'll be here just going, I remember Lloyd. Hey.
I can't believe it though. Yeah. I am stunned to hit, like, I know people have millions of followers, don't they? But me and you're we're not cool. Like we don't have that like X factor. We have tattoos and half a beard between us. but but we're not like we're never gonna be million channel subscribers, and the fact that either of us have got to 10,000,
it's amazing. So it shows that anybody can do anything in this world.
It fucking
I'm used to being second best in my friend group, and my like you with YouTube, you're passing me by, I'm cool with that.
I'm not passing
Rylan's,
by.
Rylan's been adding 100 to 150 followers a day on his Instagram. And I was proud of my 2,000 Instagram followers. We're small but perfectly formed. And he's just gone from literally...
What about your Instagram followers?
and the Instagram followers as well. But he's now like about 500 away from me, and he's adding about 100 a day. So he's going to be passing me by on that. And then you know...
I don't know what's happened to Instagram. I used to like... It used to work for me. And then I got quite a lot on Instagram for us, you know, it's not millions, but then
back in the day when you were on Illusionist, your Instagram channel was where everybody followed your Instagram channel.
But yeah, it was before Illusionist started blowing up. And then I got to like 22,800, and it's been there the same for 2 years, like exactly the same. I lose as many followers as I gain every single day. It's the most bizarre thing. Like, it just does not grow at all, and I post on there, but I usually just post thumbnails from YouTube, I'm not gonna lie, so I don't blame people for not following me. but let's get into some of the cool shit. Let's talk about new cool products shit.
what's going on. Before you talk about one thing, let me just talk about, is there anything happening in the world when it comes to magic?
You're performing at the Magic Circle tonight, but by the time people hear this, you'll have done your performance.
I will have performed, and I'll be on a train on the way back.
How was your lecture done in Wessex Magic Society?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was really good. It was really good. Really had a good time. Had a great time. It was really interesting as well, because I did the lecture, and I didn't have anything to sell. You know, I don't really take anything to sell at my lectures, really, because I don't believe in that sort of thing. And afterwards, I was just like, hey, guys, if you like the lecture... thanks very much. I've got nothing to sell, but if you want to learn any of the items on here, everything is on the Netrix. And on the way back, I was looking at it, and it was just like, ping, 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 join the Netrix, join the Netrix, join the Netrix. Oh. So it was cool. So, you know,
that's what I wanted. I want to talk about the Netrix today, because I'm looking online, and I'm not seeing, and obviously we don't do any research for the show, so I can't see anything crazy off the top of my head that's like blowing
up. The only thing that I can mention is next Saturday, Britain's Got Talent is back.
Oh, yeah.
I've talked about Britain's Got Talent on this podcast, because I'm like, you know, I've told you, I'm a friend of Russ Stevens. We had our arguments and our disagreements back in the day, but we've grown to... you know, we're in a good place, and I'm a huge fan of what he does on the show. And I think last year's final, where they had over 50% of magicians in the final, was so great for magic. And anyone that turns around and goes, magic is dead, I'm sorry, just look at the last final. You know, I mean, it was ridiculous. So I'm really excited, because every year magic is always treated as a big deal on that channel, on that TV show now. And they've got a double thing on the Saturday and the Sunday, 16th and 17th of April. So I'm looking forward to it.
To be glued to that, because in fairness, and there's no denying it, it's thanks to Britain's Got Talent largely that magic is sort of cool again.
Yeah,
in the UK. Really is.
Like, look at the people that we had on last year's show. You know, Damien.
Yeah.
James. Magical Bones.
Yeah.
Yeah, and James and Dylan Piper. Jasper Cherry. Ada McCann.
Yeah.
And had some incredible
set an incredible image for magic. And so I'm interested. Do you know anyone that's going to be on this year?
I don't know. I'm very excited, because I'm a big Ada McCann fan. Little Aiden, I think, is so funny. I laugh my ass off whenever I see him perform. And it filled my heart with glee when I saw pop up on the Netrix, Ada McCann has subscribed to the Netrix. I'm like, yes.
No way. Wow.
Yes, no way. I was like, yeah. I think Aiden's cool. When I grow up, I want to be Aiden.
Has there any, been anything else happening in the Magic world? I don't think there's been anything major going down.
It's not really. I think it's the calm before the storm. The thing that's really kind of everyone's going on about at the moment is your stuff with your cryptic product. You know, that's what a lot of people are talking about that. You're creating a buzz.
Well, before we talk about my shit, April 10th, Share Magic Live with Vanishing Ink. Vanishing Ink are doing a free live lecture, and it's to help the Ukraine. Yeah, and it's got an amazing lineup. It's got Carissa Hendricks, Archie Manners, Chad Long, Andy Gladwin, Joshua J, Avi Yap, Andre Seneca, Ollie Meelin, Jackie Yu, Henry Harrius, Azzy Wind, and Victor Pinier.
Wow. It's
free live lecture. And whilst you watch it, you sign up to it, and then whilst you watch it, you can donate to Sheer Magic.
That's killer.
Which is incredible.
That's absolutely killer.
But for the Ukraine, you know?
That's really good. That's really, really good.
Yeah, so what can you say about that? It's going to be April the 10th, 12 p.m., midday,
ET. You know what? Andy and Josh are really nice people. I like Andy and Josh.
Yeah, they are trying to better the Magic world. I think they have a vision for what the Magic world should be. And I think it's formed from what's been bad about the Magic world. Do you know what I mean? What's not been good out there? So what they're doing is fixing a lot of problems that they see. And they're just doing generally, you know, good stuff.
They are. I love Vanishing Ink. I absolutely do. I think that they're doing the right thing. And yeah, they you can tell that Andy and Josh are sincere about this sort of stuff, which is fantastic. Yeah, really, really good. Did you know? Well, you did, because you told me. Thanks for letting me know that John Durenboss performed the Quantum Deck on The Ellen Show.
Oh, yeah. I sent you the link. Yeah. He messaged me on Instagram about a month ago saying, hey, man, I'm going to be on The Ellen Show in like 48 hours or something. I'd love to do the Quantum Deck on there. Can you get me a Quantum Deck? And I was like, no. I mean, we want it on there, but Craig doesn't even have a Quantum Deck. That like we could, there's not even a Quantum Deck for us to ship to Craig. He has to have his own, like at home. Yeah. So it was a bit of a scramble, but John made it work. And the next thing, I thought it was one of those things where when there's a new hot product out, everyone wants it, and people will say, oh, I'm going to be doing this, I'm going to be doing that, you know. But I always sort of give people respect and think, okay, then go for it. But I thought, you know, I get 100 calls a week. I need this trick for television. I need that trick for television, blah, blah, blah. So I thought, oh, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And then boom, yeah, text me last night, inbox me on Instagram last night. Here's the fucking link. And he did it on the Ellen DeGeneres Show and absolutely slayed with it.
His performance was fantastic.
He's a fantastic performer anyway, right? Mm-hmm. And he really absolutely crushed it. And I think, like, if there ever has been any naysayers out there that says it's not the real world... practical.
Yeah, I get people all the time going, you can't perform it unless you're on stage 50 meters away.
Yeah.
What?
It's fucking, I mean, you've got to be really scraping the bottom of the barrel of intelligence to think that that this is not. I mean, what if you can't prove for someone at this point, after fucking every type of performance they've seen, heard, watched, and experienced, that this is not everything that it says it is on the tin, then there's no hope for you. Yep. Zero hope. You should probably give it up. Hang up the gloves. Get out while you still can.
Totally agree. 100%. 100%. But no, congratulations to John. I think he did a great job of that. And I love how he had the signed card and he put it in the middle and he let the audience see where it was. I thought that was great. I thought the way that he actually framed it and the whole, you know, being in the right place at the right time. And you know what the right place and the right time is, you know. Yeah, let's use your intuition. And just really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, well, because it was in last season. So he said to me that's the sort of presentation he was going to go for, because the time is now and she's changing her life and all this, that, and the other. And it's just great. I love I love seeing, I don't do the performances in my own trailers for two reasons. I'm a shit performer and I live in Wales and I can't get anyone to, I can probably get someone to film me, but in my little sleepy town, like getting someone to film me is solid. So I love seeing other people perform other people's work and see how they change it up and how they do it differently and how they present it to their style and the little tips and tricks. I just think it, I think sharing and watching other people do other people's material is such a good way to bring out the best in it and make it, you know, yeah, look for things and features and effects that you wouldn't find them in your own, on your own, you know what I mean? Just an amazing performance. But that being said, so we got the Vanishing Ink Share Magic thing for the Ukraine on Saturday, which is the 10th of April, which will be it says Saturday 10th of April. I don't know where I'm getting Saturday from. It's Sunday 10th of April. That's my bad.
Sunday 10th of April. Okay.
Yeah. Right. And then Britain's Got Talent as well, which is a week from now. You did the West, yeah, Magic Society. Magic Live is coming up that we're both going to. I've decided finally I'm officially going to Magic Live.
Are you doing the session?
Yeah, I'll probably be doing the session. Are you doing it?
I'm definitely doing the session because I'm going to be doing something very special while I'm there with Adam Wilbur. Me and Adam are going to be going off somewhere and doing something very special together. So.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
It's bondage so, with a strap on.
Yes, it is.
That's what you do.
He's bringing his own personal strap on, so it's exciting.
It's a double-edged.
So there you go.
All right, so new products. Let's talk about the good shit. Most people are here to listen about the new magic products they can buy. So.
What we got going on? What's new in the world of magic products?
Netrix, how is that going for you, man? Tell me all about it. We haven't spoke properly for like a week, like a proper good character.
We haven't. It's been manic for me. It's going well. We're ahead of where we wanted to be. I think we're closing in on around about 400 subscribers after the first week.
Fuck it.
We've put more people signing up every single day because the word of mouth is kicking in. One of the reasons I've been so busy is because, you know, when you build something like this, you think, right, okay, this is how I want it to be. And then you open the doors and then everyone's like, actually, we'd like to see this, 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 this. So in the community, and that's what makes this so good because there's a community where people can talk to each other. People have been putting, we want to see this. So we made it happen. We want to see this. One thing on the landing, so each trick has got a landing page. And on the landing page, I didn't put ad copy. I just put a trailer because I just thought, why do you need ad copy? You can just watch the trailer. Turns out everybody wants ad copy. So one thing I had to do was go through 150 courses. I literally didn't sleep. It took me till 10 a.m.
I believe you, because I know you don't sleep.
And I literally just went on and wrote ad copy for every single product on there. and then there's loads of stuff that we've been implementing. People wanted an easier way to log in, so we whacked a login button at the end. So we've just been, we want to over-deliver and under-promise. And one of the ways we want to do that is be very active on making sure that everything is what it's meant to be. And in fact, I'm going to give you an exclusive here. You know, the thing is, me and Luke decided this yesterday. You know, the thing is, we said every 2 weeks, we're going to upload 5 routines.
Yeah.
Well, we've only been on a week. Just to say thank you to everyone that signed up in the first week. On Monday, we're uploading 10 new routines.
Whoa, holy
just
shit.
Just to say thank you. So we're uploading 3 from me, another Kyle Purnell routine, another Ollie Mealing routine, a couple of Justin Miller's, a couple of Adam Wilbur's. We're uploading a John Carey routine. So we're uploading. We're just saying, hey, thanks very much for signing up. Thank you for having faith in us. Here's 10 new tricks. What? Where else can you do that? Where else can you get that? Like 10 tricks. Here's 10 tricks. Thank you very much. And I'm halfway through uploading a full-on masterclass. I'm just filming it right now. A full-on masterclass on the Rubik's Cube. Because people said in Netflix they want Rubik's Cube. So I'm doing a full, I'm doing a course on how to solve the Rubik's Cube, how to do beginner's method, how to F2L. Then I'm going through all of my own unique cube stuff, how to do my timing force.
One of the things I've seen you work the most. That's insane.
How to do the shake solve, how to do all of my stuff. I'm going to go through all the routines I do in the real world with Rubik's Cubes. There's going to be a massive section going up in the next 2 to 3 weeks. I've just shot a video that goes up for silver members on how to, that's going up next week as well, on how to monetize your YouTube channel and how to set your YouTube channel up for success. I've got another video up going on about how to actually get live performances at events. I've got another video going up on systemization. The first virtual magic club is up, is going on this week, this Sunday. We've got our first virtual magic club, and I'm doing it on Mem Deck Magic. So it's all popping. It's exciting.
Fucking hell, dude. Congratulations, man. Like, you deserve all the success in the world with it. And I love that you're listening to the community members, and you know, any feedback they have, you're taking it on board and we're, you know, open to change it. And
oh yeah, we're changing everything around. We want to make it the platform that people want to see. We want to listen to people, we want to do what they say, and we want to make it the best thing it can possibly be.
It's insane. And so, you know, for anyone listening that's been under a rock, they can find that at thenetrix.com.
www.thenetrix.com. The
home. Everyone's talking about it though, so in fairness, we don't need to plug it. Like, I've seen it talking about all the things. Everyone's saying, I seen a thread, so I can't remember, I seen it the other day, and they said, what's the best magic subscription service out there? And there was so many, well, everyone said the Netflix, and then they talk shit about the other ones that are out there, which made me smile.
What made me laugh is the guy, there's a post somewhere.
Oh, that's what I was gonna ask about. Somebody, sorry.
Yeah.
No, go on.
So what's really funny is there's a guy, and I won't mention his name, but there's a guy, and I've just noticed this morning because I've been really busy, but I just noticed this morning. There's a guy that posted on YouTube, and he said, I will say your followers are like a cult. It's actually pretty scary. I question the long-term viability on a Facebook forum and nothing more. I was called everything you could imagine, hater, cheapskate, liar. I saw magic tricks spectacularly crash and burn, but of course, this time is different. It always is. I have no vested interest one way or another. At the end of the day, you are a marketer, and maybe it will work. I will say that I think you are making some smart moves on the front end. I'll stay away from the cult. Not all people want to be around your cult of followers. And I'm just like, so I searched Facebook to find the thing that he was talking about. And he went up there. Somebody was talking about the Netflix, and he went on there and said, attempts to monetize content inevitably lead to decline and failure. It will happen to Craig too. The tiered membership is a terrible idea. And yeah, nobody ripped into him. People just were like, no, that's not true.
I think what's scorned this person is that there's the major player in the magic streaming, or the once major player in the magic streaming realm, dropped the ball massively. Yeah. They fucked up, and that's hurt a lot of people. But one thing everyone should know about you, if they don't, is that you are absolutely fucking relentless. Absolutely fucking relentless in every pursuit that you take, whether it's your YouTube channel, your performing, your multiple businesses. You never fuck up. You never drop the ball. You give it everything, your blood, sweat, and tears.
And
I think if for any reason that you weren't able to provide, for any reason on the fucking sun, you weren't able to provide to your subscribers, you'd rather fucking shut it down then let it go to waste. Like, you'd rather do the right thing. And so there's nothing to lose.
Yeah, exactly. And I've got an infrastructure in place. I've got a full-on infrastructure in place with staff and systems and systemization. Others have failed. Yeah, I know others have failed. But the difference is I don't take a project on unless I know that I'm going to be able to pull it off. And if a year and a half to 2 years of me doing Magic TV and saying, hey, I'm going to deliver on this every single week and actually delivering every single
week. Fucking week, my day.
Some people have said, oh, I bet you Magic TV is going to disappear now that Netflix is up. I bet he won't carry on doing Magic TV. Are you fucking kidding me? Magic TV is just as important to me as Netflix. For me, they're both the same just thing, just in different directions. Magic TV is my passion project. It's what I'm passionate about. I'm passionate. I could, let's be honest, I could, if I wanted to, and we know this from your channel, with the following that I've got, I could start uploading tutorials every single week and I could probably blow that channel up. But I don't want to do that because that's not the focus of the channel. The focus of the channel is doing the stuff on there that I do, the reviews, the, you know, the theory and that sort of stuff. And it's a slow burn. And I'm absolutely fine with that, but I'm not going to stop it because so many people say they enjoy it. So yeah, I'm going to carry on.
Dedicated followers though, and the very, very active community on your channel, and people genuinely get value from it, you know? And I know because you see the feedback, the comments from those people, that you'll never let them down.
Never. It's just never. Not going to happen. Not in a million years. Not in a million years.
But you're going to get naysayers no matter what. So it doesn't matter. You can't convince everyone.
Yeah. No, you can't. But what other projects? When's your thing coming out? When's your thing that everyone's guessing what it is?
Very, very soon. I'm getting nervous.
Can you give us a date, or you just go? Is it just going to happen out of the blue?
I've given people a date. If they can do the treasure hunt, it's out there. The release date is out there. I'm nervous because we've ordered, obviously, stock and units.
Yeah.
Somehow word's got around to sell out
in 5 seconds.
Well, yeah, it looks like it's selling out quicker than anything ever. So
not only are you fucking passing me by on Magic TV with your fucking shitty little fucking exposure YouTube channel, but now you're fucking taking over Crumpler, you motherfucking Welsh cunt. Fucking fine, Lord Barnes.
Well, no, somehow some companies have heard talk about it. I don't know whether it's because I showed a few people at Blackpool or whatever. And we've had to put order limits on it before it goes on to pre-sale. Before it goes to pre-sale, we've had to put order limits on it for people who want it before then. It's the fucking most bizarre thing ever. But it's an amazing problem to have, right?
Which company? I think I know. Is it the same company that did it with Quantum?
Yeah, and more.
Really?
Like, yeah. But no, and more as in units and more companies. Yeah, exactly. And but my which is fucking lovely, and it's humbling. Not humbling, what's the word? It's fucking, I don't know, it's really nice. But the genuine concern is that there's this campaign for it to excite, get people excited, and, you know, to make a little bit of like a fun out of it and an event out of it. And when it comes to launch day, like, no one's gonna be able to get it. Which is shit, because it'd be like when the new Batman film came out. You know, they teased the new Batman film for like 2 years because of COVID and delays. Yep. It'd be like that coming out in the cinema, but then no cinemas are showing it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like it's a genuine quandary. There's only a couple of thousand units. Like,
when a Murphy is going to actually figure out they need to buy more shit with anything that Lloyd Barnes has got involved in, because like Cognito went and became the best-selling trick of 2021. Okay, maybe that was just a fluke. That was Lloyd's first trick since going to Murphy's. Maybe it was a fluke. Maybe, you know, lightning struck a bottle. Okay, what's the next project he's involved in? Will he work directly with Craig on the Quantum deck and the routines? And then he put together all of the... Okay, oh, hang on. That's fucking sold out and continues to sell out at this point now, 2 months later. Okay, right, okay. And now we're into the next Lloyd Barnes trick, which...
We are going to smoke up my ass.
Yeah, that was another one of yours, wasn't it? You worked with him.
I'd love to take credit for. I don't know. Maybe because of the pandemic and people have more time on their hands, or they're now getting back to work, so they have more money on their hands. I think people are just buying more. I know that like Murphy's doing the best they've ever done. And they have done for the last 18 months plus. I think I'm just riding that wave. So I'd love to take credit for it, but I do think I'm just
I also know
I've just
the
timed
projects.
The market very well.
Yeah. Fuck off. No, I know some of the projects that you're going to be involved in over the coming year. and you're going to do the same thing over and over again. If anybody on here is listening from Murphy's, and let's be honest, they probably aren't because they try to keep as far away from this place as they can.
No one fucking listens to this fucking podcast.
Actually, they probably do listen to it to realize, to try and find out if they're going to have any shit coming their way with what we say. There's probably somebody in Murphy's. Ted Bob normally probably listens to it. But if anybody from Murphy's is listening to this, rearrange these fucking four words into a sentence. Needs, rise, Lloyd, pay.
I just fucking had a massive fucking one, but I'll take it.
Shit me, I mean, seriously, you're just smashing it out of the park.
I can't stand talking myself. The thing called Lux, so we've officially...
You know, but I'm telling you, there's somebody somewhere in some country, in some office, sitting there literally crying into their fucking soup right now, going, what the fuck did we do? Anyway, sorry, move on.
The Lux is the name of the product. We can
do
say
you remember, hang on, I'm going to say one more thing about that crying into the soup thing. Do you remember when Pretty Woman, one of my favourite films, remember Pretty Woman, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Julia Roberts goes in and she's dressed like a complete hooker and she goes into that really posh dress shop and she's like, I'd like to buy a dress. And they're like, fuck off, you're disgusting. Ugh, we don't want anything to do with you. And then later on, the next day, she comes in and she's dressed like a proper lady and she's got unlimited credit cards and she goes, hi, do you remember me from yesterday? You remember you wouldn't serve me? You work on commission, right? Big fucking mistake. you're Julia Roberts in this whole scenario, and I don't need to say any more about that.
Too fucking kind, man. Anyway, Lux, it's called. I remember, we can tell everyone. It's called Lux. There's a Facebook group. It's called Lux by Lloyd Barnes.
And I'm going to tell you all about what it is right now. I'm going to tell you that what this thing is...
go to the Facebook group and there will be a teaser drop in. There should be a new teaser in there today. The last teaser was, we put the first one up last Friday and it was fucking...
You
filmed the last teaser.
I remember. I mean, you didn't see anything. You just heard it. It sounded like some guy spending 60 seconds having an orgasm. But I mean,
it's like what you and Adam Wilbur are going to record at the Session Convention, some special
absolutely.
Event.
Absolutely.
It was great. Well, that was the first time. That was the first recorded performance of Lux. We were at Smoke and Mirrors, and it was to a magician called Jordan. He's a magician, magic enthusiast. He's a performing magician, but fucking loves magic. So you were able to film for me, which is such a rarity. And it was the first time I filmed a performance with Lux, and Jordan freaks the fuck out, as everyone does who sees it. And the audio from it, I just loved. So I thought, because I also didn't want to show what the effect was just yet. We've got another, 2 weeks until the release. Whoops. So I figured for that. Okay, let's change the subject because I'm going to slip up. What else has been in the magic world this week? Did you see from Piata, who spelt their name Pitata Magic, the new whiteboard release?
No, what the fuck's that?
Oh my God, let me find it. Right, Pitata Magic Group. The people, the company called TCC. They're an amazing company. They do fucking amazing products. And they've created a Kickstarter called, let me see what it's called, Smart Whiteboard. Now, the name of the company is called Pitata. They pronounce it Peter, but they spelt it Pitata. But it's a smart white man. It's actually, you need to go and check this shit out. It funded £110,000, like overnight.
Wow, is it still Kickstarter now?
Yeah, here's the link. It's like this be-all, end-all smart board. It's only $299, I think, and it can do some fucking amazing shit, man. So there's another thing only called the Vibra Ring. So, you know, like you can get like those psycho PK.
Me and Wilbur are going to be
Petty Wilbur. Release on each other's faces. The first thing on there is a Vibra Ring, right? Which is a ring that has a vibrating mechanism inside it, which allows you to do the unscrewing nut effect.
Yeah.
So it's got, you can pledge one of those, and that's, I don't know, like, what's that, like £50 or something? But the main thing is this smart board, and And it's £225, the smart board. What you love about this, man, is that you can take a regular wall clock, ungimmicked wall clock, right? Mm-hmm. You can put it face down or put a cloth over it. Have somebody take this whiteboard, write down in their handwriting a time of day. And when you reveal the smart, when you reveal the clock, it's the exact time and the spectator keeps the clock. You give it away at your show.
Wow.
And this smart board, it works with IoT and smart technology to translate what's been written. So you can write words and then it'll translate those words into audio or text. So I could write the word carrot in handwriting and then it could transmit it in a multitude of different ways, whether it be through like a Bluetooth audio peak, because it takes those words and it basically uses OCR or like a form of OCR to then actually make the digital text out of it, and the same with numbers, and then it can transmit that in a multitude of different ways. The Kickstarter is out there, just for anyone that wants to follow along and look at the Kickstarter. It's called Smart Board and Time Hacker and Vibring, and it uses the ampersand in between each of those words, but the company is a fantastic company. They call the TCC. They've done a lot of Kickstarters in the past, and most people out there will recognize their products from the images of the other things. Like you'll just recognize they make really high quality shit. That's the definition of it. But yeah, this smart whiteboard. I'm very, very tempted to buy one just because the price is so good for a start. £225. For a smart whiteboard that comes with an app and, you know, everything. It's just insane.
That is incredible.
But the one with the clock, it's an IKEA clock, apparently. That one costs a bit more, but for just the smart whiteboard, £225.
Wow. It's a
bargain. I'm looking at it now. Smart whiteboard. Probably the most powerful synchronized writing board you've ever seen. Everything appears in real time. As it would be in real life, minimal whiteboard design, magnetic control switch, wireless charging, offline functions, voice broadcast, AI recognition, like, you know, brilliant. So that's like the big thing that I've been following this week, and I'm tempted to. I'd never use it, but I'm tempted to get it just for the fucking sake of it, because once it's off the Kickstarter, it goes up to like £500, I think.
Absolutely, that's incredible.
Yeah,
I'm going to be looking at that on the train on the way down to London.
I'm guessing you're going to probably buy it.
I cannot confirm nor deny. Look for it on the review.
Do you know what I haven't seen, which you may have seen, because I did notice that you've interviewed this guy on your channel.
What's that?
The Fast Any Card Any Number download by Daniel.
I've got it. I just haven't watched it yet. I know the method because. No, I've never seen a live performance. However, I know the method because, and this is the stand-up type of guy that Daniel is, it's very, the basic methodology behind it is similar to something I've done in the past. Oh. I went in a totally different direction, but he's gone in a different direction with it. But before Blackpool, when he was releasing Fast, he contacted me and said, look, can I get your permission to release it? I was like, man, of course you can. I've just put in the chat what the project is.
Ah, okay. Okay. Oh, very cool.
I don't want to say what the project is.
It'll give away. Great. Oh, well, that means
I am going to be reviewing it, but Daniel's such a great guy. He's just put his Pocket Cups and Balls through Murphy's, which is just an incredible packet trick.
I met him briefly at Blackpool. He was on Michael Murray's stand, but me and Michael will have a catch up. So I didn't get much time to like talk to him properly, but he seemed very, very good. And everyone's saying really good things about his work. So yeah,
it was a very good interview. He was very, very open. He's had mental health struggles in the past and he was talking about that. He was talking about his life as a sideshow performer because he's one of the few sword swallowers in the world. Wow. He's just a really interesting guy. Very good interview. I tell you what, talking about old school people, tomorrow I've got an interview going up with Mark Leverage.
Wow.
Love Mark Leverage. Love Mark Leverage.
Who else do you have planned to interview? Because you must have interviewed fucking everyone by now.
I've still got a lot of people to make my way through.
have you got people lined up in your schedule?
Oh, yeah. I've got like 3 weeks worth of people lined up that, and more that I need to sort out. Yeah.
Honestly, there's not many people you genuinely haven't interviewed. Well, I say that. No, but... probably massively underestimated it. But you've done...
I tell you who I rang up, and she said, I rang up somebody yesterday, and I was like, about a week ago, I rang up somebody, and I said, I really want to do an interview with you, and she was like, absolutely not a chance, I don't do interviews, and I spent about 10 minutes begging her to do an interview, and she said, look, let me think about it, and I'll let you know. Kathy?
From Murphy's?
Mm.
Fuck off, that would be a fucking
I'd love to do an interview. I'd love to do an interview with Kathy. I really would. I'm really big. It's why I wanted to interview Patrick. I'm really big on interviewing the people behind the scenes, the unheard heroes, like people like Patrick and Kathy. Nobody knows who they are, really. Your general magic, person, unless you're like really in this side of the industry, they won't know who they are. But I mean, they are so important. Like
they're the people that bring, at least half the magic products in the world to the market. Like they're the ones that allocate, whether they're going to be purchased and put on, give certain projects budgets and things. Like and Murphy's, are the biggest ones. And those are the head honchos. Like they have so much say in what magic is in the hands of most people listening to this podcast right now. They may not even
know. So somebody asked me once, who's my ideal person to interview? And I was kind of thinking, would it be Penn and Teller? I think the three people I would love to interview more than anyone else is Ajar from Penguin, Mark Murphy from Murphy's, and Brad Christian from Illusionist. I want to get an interview with the three of those. That's what I'd like to do. Brad's never going to fucking happen in a minute. Brad's never going to happen in a million fucking years. He's probably got a little fucking picture of me on his wall and darts and stuff that he just throws it on. But I reckon I could get Mark in a jar if I try hard enough.
I think so.
You want to see something really fucking cool? So the girl who does all of my tattoos, her name is Kat Stanley. And she is the best tattooist in the world. Like, she runs Catapult Inc. But a lot of people don't realize, but she's also a children's author. She writes children's books because she's an artist that's actually got into tattooing. She's an artist. So she illustrates and writes her own children's books. This is her latest book that's just gone up on her Amazon.
Wow. It's got Rylan. Can I see it?
Yeah, Rylan.
Wow, Rylan Petty, Kat Stanley, Kat's Magic
Bubble. Yeah, well, she's got this series of books.
Is that on Amazon now?
Yeah, it's on right now.
Wow.
She's got this series of books about Kat that's a little like purple alien thing and gets up into trouble. And she gets transported to this stage show where Rylan, the kid magician, is doing this illusion show and she becomes part of it. And
No fucking way.
Oh, he's in a children's
book. Man, Rylan is everywhere. Absolutely everywhere, isn't he?
Yeah, he really is. It's annoying, really. But,
Well, that's an interesting magic product. So that's called Cat's Magic Bubble on Amazon, for anyone listening who wants to
read it. Right now.
Children out there wants perfect. To read some it, magic stories to
perfect,
their children.
Perfect. Yeah, and they learn simple tricks at the back as well. Rylan actually put together three simple tricks for Cat at the back so that the kids that watch it can or read it can learn some simple magic tricks at the end as well.
Wow. All right, so I think that's pretty much all the major products.
Yeah, I mean, we never said at the beginning this is going to be a fairly quick podcast because I've got to head to London. We'll be back with a super long Lloyd and Craig special next week.
Extravaganza.
But this is a fairly quick one. But yeah, I don't think there's, to be honest, I don't think there's any other magic trick. Everybody's talking about Lux. I'm allowed to say it, Yana. Everyone's talking about Lux. I love Lux. I'm just as excited for the thing that you're doing after Lux.
Oh yeah.
You still need to send that thing. You still need to send me what you need to send me.
Yes. Yes, I'll do that.
You know what I mean? yeah. Don't you know what I mean? Go. We got some questions. Should we do some questions? I've got questions.
Let's do some questions, yeah. Wait, sorry, not sorry. We haven't done sorry, not sorry.
Oh, sorry, not sorry. Fuck, yes. So, sorry, not sorry. Do you have a controversial opinion? Lloyd Barnes is a twat.
Controversial opinion. I tell you what, someone, I don't know if it's a controversial opinion at all or not. And you can speak to this. Someone can play, I put a video up yesterday of a thought of card effect, right? On my channel. And I put a, so the video is, I do a live performance of it to Kaylee. And then I teach you how it works. And then I go into more detail about why it works and the nuances, right? And yes. the video is 36 minutes long in total. And I say, hey, here's the video. I'm going to perform it so you can watch how it works. Then I'm going to tell you briefly the method. And that's 10 minutes. And then for anyone that's interested in taking it further, I'm going to go more in depth into the important shit, the nuances, the whys, the theory behind it. But for anyone out there that just wants to know the method, this is how it works. And then someone fucking complained that it was too long. One comment, which is, you know, it doesn't bother me. I've got thick skin. But I suppose the controversial opinion, is it not, maybe not controversial opinion, but the thing that I want to bring up, because you do incredibly long explanations. You do 5 hours of explanations on a project. Like that's a standard for you now. Good or bad? I know you're probably going to say good. But
well, here's the thing. I think that in that scenario, you have there somebody who's saying that your explanation is too long on a YouTube video. And I think we have to make the clear distinction here of the difference between putting a tutorial on YouTube and putting a tutorial as part of a project that people have bought. Because if somebody buys something like Visible, for example, with 5.5 hours of tutorial, or Quantum Debt with 5.5 hours of tutorial, they've paid money to get that project. They've invested money. They've thought, you know what? I want to learn more uses for the Invisible Deck. Here is my money. Give me the material. I don't think they're going to think it's too long. They're getting value for money because, you know, no one's going to say in that scenario, I paid $40 for this. Thank you very much. But really, there should have only been 7 routines instead of 10. Said no fucker ever anywhere.
Yeah.
On a YouTube channel, people generally on YouTube, they're flitting around all over the place. Now, it's kind of an interesting thing because the people that come on my YouTube channel, I don't really do short form content. I do the shorts that go up every so often, but I don't really do short form content. I think the shortest thing I do is the Hidden Gems, which is still 15 minutes. And most of my videos are like an hour and a quarter, you know, easily. And I think the people that my YouTube channel attracts, they kind of know that. And if somebody comes to my channel, they're not going to stick around. That's why I don't get as many subs as you, because like people come onto my channel and I might be spending 40 minutes talking about openers, but I'm not actually teaching how those openers are done. I'm not saying here's how to do this opener. I'm like, hey, here's an opener. This is really good. This is where you can buy it from. This is an opener. This is good where you can buy it from. Nobody who's just looking for a quick magic fix is going to sit on my channel and go, they're just not going to watch that. So the people that comment on my channel, I think they're used to that type of content. They want that type of content. You're in a bit of a different situation because you're doing what most YouTube channels don't do. You're attracting people that are looking for tutorials because your channel does tutorials. But the difference is you aren't Billy Bob from San Francisco. Hi, my name's Billy Bob and welcome to my YouTube channel. And today I'm going to be teaching you how to do a double lift. That's right. I'm going to teach you how to take two cards and turn them over like one. And you're going to be able to get the David Blaine reactions that you see on the TV, son. So go grab yourself a deck of cards and welcome to my YouTube. No, that's not what you're doing, right? You're not Billy Bob from San Francisco. You are creating routines that are custom created by you, and because they're created by you, you're teaching little nuances and details and subtleties. So your tutorials are longer than most tutorials, and so I think a lot of people that find your channel, they find it because they're looking for secrets or they're looking for tutorials. And they go, oh my God, because you're, and also the other thing about your videos is they're so sexy at the beginning. It's a slow motion. Oh, look at this. Look, this thing is doing this. Oh my God, this is so sexy. This is so wonderful. And then it's you to camera going, this is the best everyday carry you've ever seen. You're going to learn this for free right now on this YouTube channel. Here we go. Transition, ooh, light, sexiness. That's what happens on your YouTube channel. And then you spend 20 minutes before you get to the fucking point. And I think that the people that, and I think the people that find your channel, they get excited about the first minute and they're like, oh, fuck me, this is awesome. Right, I want this. I want this. And it's like, fucking get on with it. I think if you were putting that on my YouTube channel, the people that are used to listening to boring shit for an hour and a half, I think that people would be like,
you.
No, but I think, you know, just hearing me drone on and on and on with no point in sight. I think that if that was going on my YouTube channel, people would be like, well, this is a refreshing change. He's actually getting to the point after 15 minutes. Well, so I think you're in a bit of a weird situation because you're attracting people that want quick answers. You're wanting people who are kind of secret hunters that are looking for secrets that aren't really serious about magic. But you're then taking the actual explanation of the trick seriously. So I think I've never had anyone say my content's too long. It's interesting that you're saying that because it's nowhere near as long as my content.
It's the first comment I've ever had like it.
I think that's why.
I should listen, you know, I want to listen to my audience. I'm never going to fucking brush past the method. Like, I can't do it. Like, I say in the videos, like, people are here to learn magic properly. Like, if I'm teaching you my tricks, not no one else's material, I'm teaching you my material. Because other people are out there exposing my material. Like, I'm damned if I do, I'm damned if I don't, right? But
yeah,
it was fucking really frustrating to think, like, well, yeah, if you just want to, like, it's one comment. So but I thought, well, do I listen to this guy and make it short form? But then that's what people out there that are exposing my tricks, that's what they're doing, and they're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's just interesting. I just find it odd that, like, I don't know. I don't really know what to think about it. I read it, I was going to reply, and I didn't know what to say to him. I was like, well, like, do you not give a fuck about the trick? Like, you just, that's it. If you just want the secret, like, you're in the wrong place, really, man. You know what I mean? Go on TikTok. Yeah. Like, I found it such an odd comment to read, because there's those TikTok videos that go out there and just expose secrets. Like, they literally show you a quick trick, and then they turn the camera to the side and they expose it. Like, if that's what people are looking for, go somewhere else. Like, don't come to me. You're getting tuition from me. You're learning magic from me.
The people that understand that, they're the people that realize that it's one of the best fucking channels on the internet.
No, it's literally not one of the best channels on the internet.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
It's just
yes, it
a
is.
Channel on the internet.
No, it's got production value. You don't have a heater behind you. Which is all
some about. Lights and a Ukrainian flag in the background.
No,
I'm looking over my shoulder, by the way, because it's fucking hailstones outside my window.
Of course it is.
It's hailstoning right now in Wales, which means it's the height of summer. But yeah, I don't know. It's not really a controversial opinion. It was just a thing that I read. I was like, what the fuck, man? I don't know. But yeah.
I think you just carry on being true to you. You carry on making the content that you make, and people will find you. Build it, and they will come.
Yes, Wayne's World.
Yep. Build it and they will come. And
all right, well, let's get some reader's questions then.
Okay.
Wait, I'm recording. I'm supposed to be recording an explanation video today and my voice is just gone.
Oh, man.
I've got a woolly voice.
You can do this. Too easy.
So I've sent you two emails with audio files.
Got it. Okay. Yeah, so we've got two from Gareth Whitty. Really? Two? Fuck me.
Yeah, and also in Facebook, there's a message from Tom Mullinger to both of us where he sent us a voice message.
Okay, well, we'll do that one in a second. Let's do this one first. Right, so David P. sent us one. Is that right?
Yeah.
Or is that the one that you said that already come through last week? No?
Oh, that's... David P. Yeah, well, yeah, the date on that one, because that was the Magic Podcast. That was the... He sent that the 3rd of March.
That's fine. When was the 3rd of March?
Over a month ago, 5 weeks ago.
Oh, so maybe not that one then.
Maybe
right,
not.
Okay.
That one, yeah.
So maybe not that one. Yeah, I don't know what I'm doing. Right, okay. Hey, Lloyd, love the latest TikTok effect you showed on YouTube. Very clever, boyo. Love to Craig as well. Right, here we go. Here comes Gareth. Okay, it's just downloading, which is a bad sign because...
Oh, it's going to be a long one. Go on, Gareth. Go on, Gaz. Gaza.
Okay, let's see if we can get a different one while we're waiting for Gareth. Because Gareth's not downloading. So we're going to go with David Jonathan. First of all, the legend himself, David Jonathan. I can't believe he listens to this shit. I can't believe he listens to this shit. Surely he's got more important things to do. Right, okay.
It's a time.
Here we go. David Jonathan.
Hey, guys. So I'm just going to jump right into this. I'd love to hear your thoughts on the length of tutorials. Now, I've heard the necessary criticism.
Fuck off. Fuck off.
5 minutes long, and they don't explain how to get in and out of it and all the details that you really need to know to perform the effect. But what I haven't heard really being discussed too much is the flip side of it. So you've seen a lot of projects come out recently. I'm looking at you, Craig. I'm kidding. That are 5-6 hour tutorials. And a lot of times, you know, in Craig's case, where he's teaching 12 routines, yes, it's going to be a long tutorial. That's great. 1914 does masterclass tutorials. That's great. But I've also seen where, you know, they make a huge selling point of, and you get a 4 hour tutorial, 4 hours. Oh my God. But half the 4 hours is crap. It's just repetitive.
Wow. What
three times. And when is a tutorial too long? It's like, do I really want to sit there and invest 6 hours in this? Like when I film my own tutorials, I try to make everything as concise as possible. So I want to make sure that I get all the necessary information that I need to across, but I don't want any filler in there. So I try to concise that down to the shortest amount of time possible because I value your time and you're not sitting there saying, all right, this is getting repetitive and so on. So when is a tutorial too long? And should this be addressed with some of the longer projects that we're seeing out there lately?
I can't fucking believe that question.
No, that's crazy. That's mental. That's
we just spent like 20 minutes. Okay, that's well, what a fucking apt, what, that is the that most apt question we've ever fucking had on the show.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
All right,
thoughts? And you know what? I mean, he's not talking about YouTube. He's talking specifically tutorials once you've bought the product. And I do hate when products are too short. Like I've been reviewing a product recently and it's a 3-minute tutorial and it's just shit. It's shit. Yeah. It's a shit trick.
I don't think David's on about your tutorials because like you said, yours is with 12 effects. Like
yeah,
that is streamlined. You've just got a lot of content.
If I was but like you and I, the trick that we're filming at Magic Live for Murphy's that I'm doing, that won't be more than 20 minutes, 25 minutes, because you just need to understand the method. And that
was only half an hour.
Yeah, that was. Yeah, it was only half an hour.
And you taught a full salt shaker routine.
Chop with all of the different ideas that I put on there was only an hour and 45.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so right, let's go to David's question then. When is a tutorial too long?
Well, I'll tell you one thing, Lloyd, before you start, I'll tell you one thing. As a reviewer, because me and Ryland have got to review a minimum of 4 tricks every week. And we go and look at them on the weekend. Man. We start looking at them. Man, when we see a fucking tutorial that's ridiculously long, we die a little inside. Like, we're just like, right, that's going to take us the whole day to get through. Like, I remember when Shrapnel came up and it was like, and that was 2 hours long. And it was actually okay. With Shrapnel, it was good that it was that long because he had so many moves and it wasn't just one trick. It was like, now you can do this trick. But it was like, oh my God, 2 hours long. And when I looked at Underhanded, the new one from Murphy's with Javier, and I'm like, it's 2.5 hours there, right? So I do understand where David's coming from because, like, I learned so much new magic and I have to watch the whole thing and sometimes it'll take me the whole day to learn one trick.
Well, here's so the interesting then. In the video I just put up, the think of a card effect, I sort of acknowledge this. I put the performance up. So the performance is like 7 minutes and then Kaylee reviews it. And then I say, now I'm going to teach you the method. And I'm just going to teach you the method flat out. And then if you want to learn and know more about it, the really important shit for me, which are the nuances and the stuff which some people find boring, then you can continue on afterwards and we'll talk about it more again. So basically I give them the express option. And I wonder if that's a good route going forward where for products, you know, and it's really good actually, because I'm supposed to be recording a tutorial today for Lux, where, you know, you could say, this is the tutorial. For example, this is Lux. There's the express learning, which is going to take you 10 minutes to learn it from start to finish. And we're going to gloss over everything, but it's just if you want to speed run the course. And then there's also the option of the masterclass, where you've got the option of doing it for 3 or 4 hours. And then I suppose you couldn't be pissed off because you're catering to everyone, right? You've got the short attention span people, or the people that can do, you know, don't need to have full front to back, upside down, inside out teaching. Like the quantum deck, for example, looking at it now with David's question in mind, it could have been like, all right, guys, here's the basics.
We kind of did do that, didn't we? We said, this is how it works. Yeah, we said, this is the secret. This is how it works. Within half an hour, they were able to do the routine that they saw me do to Adam Wilbur and all those people. And then we were like, now let's get into the routines with it. And I think it was okay with the quantum deck. True. Although it's only one trick, we were going through lots of individual routines and concepts with it. And an hour of that stuff was live performances. Same with Visible. Visible was 4.5 hours long. But when you actually think about it, every routine had a live performance and it was lots of routines. It was like a multi-trick project.
Here's a question, a sidetrack-ish. When you review your products with Rylan, where do you view them? Do you view them on laptop, phone, TV, iPads? Like, how do you view most?
Normally, we sit in my office at home and we watch them on an iMac. So a big iMac screen.
Because I love that, I'll watch most tutorials on my phone. So I know that 1914 doing it, and I've done it where you shoot things lengthway or portrait mode.
They do that. I think it's fine, especially if it's something that you go, I mean, more people are watching content on their phone now than ever before. So yeah. I think it makes sense, but I don't think you can ever replace, I think you'd have to have both views maybe. I don't think you could ever replace the content. I mean, because so many people do access it on a TV. Like one of the things that we've had for Netrix, which we've implemented, somebody said, can you put the facility in there to cast it to the TV? Because when I'm learning magic, I like to watch it on my TV and there's no facility on the Netrix to be able to share the stream over to a television. So we were like, right, okay, do that. So that took us a while to put together, but that's on there now as a feature. I think I could do it.
If I watch it on my phone, I could just cast it to my television. Right.
Yeah, but we've put a specific thing on the Netflix now. So there's a button there when they're watching things and it just goes straight onto the TV. But the point is, we had loads of people saying, can you add that feature? The other thing that people have said on the Netflix that they like is that the routines, the explanations are actually quite succinct because we've got the slight school. So we don't have to teach the slights and we can just go, right, there, there, there. They're actually quite short. You know, maximum of 15 minutes, and people like that because they can kind of go in and learn a trick. And you know, so that's other feedback I've had, that people really like the fact that that's how the Netrix is structured. So, you know, I don't know.
No, I think I just fucking love this topic. I think it's so I'm always interested in trying to understand and deliver better information, like information in the most like easy to digest way possible. Like, you know,
one thing that Penguin drilled home to me when I was working with Penguin, and this was an experience I had with Penguin and nobody else, both Eric Tate, Sean Dunn, Nick LaCoppa, and Nick Popa, who are the filming people there, they all sat down with me and they said, we want you to film this as if it's somebody's first magic product, as if they've never bought a trick before and this is the first thing they're buying. Because we have a lot of new people at Penguin. Penguin is found first when people are searching for magic shops. They find Penguin first of all. and somebody will see a flashy trailer and they'll go, oh, I want to do that, and they'll buy it. And they said a lot of the time, people who buy stuff from us, it is the very first thing that they've bought, yeah. and it needs to be accessible to them. So don't gloss over a false transfer. Don't gloss over, like on my Penguin Live, I was like, okay, in this routine, now you've got to do a cull. And then Eric was like, right, okay, we're gonna take another section that I can put in now. Can we describe the cull in detail, please? And I did a routine where I controlled the card second from top, and I used a slipstream control by Troy Hooser. And he's like, right, yeah. now we need to sit down, and now we need to explain the slipstream control and credit it to Troy Hooser, because we need people to know everything.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's true. Do you know what was a funny one for me? Even though I've done multiple apps in the past, was when I put out Cognito, one of the setup features was putting a screenshot in. And someone said, oh, you should teach people how to do a screenshot. And I like scoffed at it. I was like, they really shouldn't be setting up Cognito. I mean, I can't imagine someone getting Cognito and wanting to use it if they can't take a screenshot on their phone. And lo and behold, fucking a lot of people can't take screenshots, but a lot of people bought Cognito. So I wrote this like 46 page PDF to additionally go with the instructions. And literally part of the details in that PDF was things like how to take a screenshot, like almost to the point of how to turn your phone on, level of detail. And it's not me, like I scoffed at it, but looking at it now, it's like, yeah, well, just because it's new to, just because we understand it, like me and you understand it, like with our eyes closed, that if it was, if me and you were the purchasers of, say, how to do coding, a coding course, I would be a complete beginner. I wouldn't know how to fucking open, you know, the first thing. So yeah, it's a really good thing to do. And I'm actually really glad we're having this discussion today, because I am about to film explanations after this call. So all of this newfangled thinking of a concise version, a long version, a basics version, additionally doing things in a separate section, maybe all that. Is a really good point. I can't get over the timing of that David Jonathan question. Fucking amazing.
That's hilarious. But in terms of my projects, I am doing a lot of multi-effect projects at the moment. And I think it's because I miss the L&L days. I miss the days where you got massive value, which is why I'm trying to gravitate towards doing stuff. Like, you know, you look at the Beyond Stebbins project, 12 routines. Look at the Visible project, 13, 14 routines. Look at Quantum, 10 routines. This Memdeck, 9 routines, this Memdeck project. You know, I'm always trying to put out stuff just to give people options. And, you know, I speak to people that have bought Visible and they're like, well, you know, my favorite trick was that one. My favorite trick was that one. My favorite trick was that one. You know, different people have got different favorites. So why not just put as much information in there as you can for people?
Yeah. The recipe to success is to deliver, not to drone on and not to go over the same shit twice, you know. Just deliver the information and move on. And it's just if you have a lot of content, then that just get it out, you know, deliver it somehow.
Yeah. I agree.
Great question. Fucking great question.
But now David Jonathan was the warm-up act. It's time for the Wittinator.
Hi guys, it's me, Gav. Just another quick question for you. More of a thought that popped into my brain whilst driving down the road going to work, which is why I usually get most of my good ideas. My question is, if you were, say, a professional mentalist, should you have your contact details printed on your billets, or should you perhaps keep a separate business card and just have billets as plain everyday objects? There we go. Loving the show. Keep up the great work. And I've kept it nice and short and sweet for you for once in my lifetime. Bye for now.
That's such a sexy voice. Bye for now. Interesting question. Interesting question.
I think this will be interesting because we both have very different, probably have different approaches to this. I'm not a gigging magician. I would never have my details on a business card. I don't have a business card.
No, you don't have a business card. Don't Murphys give you a business card? Don't Murphys give you business cards?
I
Officially, anybody who's listening to Magic Podcast, let's do a letter writing campaign. Let's write to Murphy's. We want to
invite them. Why would you want a business card in the 21st century?
Because it's useful.
Hey, follow me on Instagram. Cool.
Okay. You've obviously never been business networking.
Never in my life.
If you had been business networking, then you would know why it's important to have a business card. It is important.
Why?
It is important. Right. Okay. Well, here's the thing. Without droning too much on about business.
Just deliver this information succinctly to me, Craig.
I'll try. When you meet somebody at a gig, yeah, you're right. They don't need a business card. The reason they don't need a business card is because they've just seen you perform. Brilliant. The purpose of a business card, in my opinion anyway, and we talk about this on the metrics, the purpose of a business card is it should sell people on you if they've never actually seen you, met you, or watched you perform. So let's say, for example, you're not a magician. I meet you in a bar. I show you a trick. You're like, oh my God, that's amazing. And I turn around to you and I say, look, I tell you what, this is my details. If you need a magician, give me a call. And I give you the business card. If you meet somebody next week and you're at the bar with your mate and you're like, oh, I'm planning my daughter's wedding. I don't know what to do. I think I need a magician. I saw a magician at another gig. I need a magician. I need to sort it. You can then go, oh, right. Well, I met a magician. He's really good. I met him at an event. Here's his card or whatever it may be. And the business card sells that person on you. So it might have a quote like, my business card has the speciality act of the decade, Stage Newspaper, which is a quote that the Stage Newspaper gave me. I've got another one. Imagine the illusions of David Copperfield performed by Morecambe and Wise. That's slightly unusual, the Stage Newspaper. So I've got like loads of quotes. When people look at it, they go, oh, wow, that sounds good. And then there's pictures of me performing and people going. So it's not about the person you're giving it to. It's about the person they might potentially give it to.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Do you know, I do have a collection of business cards that are not mine. I collect terribly designed business cards.
Oh, I'll send you mine.
I might even have it to hand here somewhere. I can't show them on camera, but I do. Yeah, I've got a shitload of like terribly designed business cards. But yeah, I mean, sometimes I think it could be damaging though. Like if you've got an awful business card, then isn't that going to make someone go, oh yeah, they are shit. Like I don't even want to go near them. Or does it not matter? You just need to have a business card regardless. I'm going to Gareth's question. I mean,
there's arguments as to whether you need a business card or not. In terms of billets, I'd never put my name on a billet because the whole idea of using a billet is it's meant to be just a scrap of paper that you have that you can just write something on. If you're putting your contact detail, yeah, you're suddenly making that scrap of paper that you're using a magic prop, and I'd never want to do that. So no, I wouldn't put my details on.
What about if it was like a reveal and you wrote the word carrot on there?
No, I still wouldn't. I could just take a piece of paper and write carrots on there. And plus, it's a piece of paper. They'd probably just chuck it in the bin. You give them a business card, they're more likely to hold on to it.
Well, I think that's a fucking great answer.
Are you watching the snooker again, Lloyd?
I'm sending you another voice message from Daniel Rothschild. Oh, but that reminds me, yes, the snooker is on.
There you go.
Perfect. Okay, right. I think, well, that is actually, for once ever, I think we actually have a definitive answer to a question with that. Don't do it because it devalues your thing. And if you are not a gigging magician and you don't need to get gigs and shit or don't want gigs, then just say, find me on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. Right, on to the next voice thing. Here we go.
Who's it from?
Hi guys, I have two questions for you this week. One is, do you prefer the red bicycle deck or the blue bicycle deck or any other custom design? It's because once I had a conversation with my friend that texts that aren't bicycle raise suspicion. What do you think about that? And the second question is, do you think like that sites like Penguin should not authorize anonymous reviews? As you can see on the Quantum Deck, there's a lot of negative reviews without any real content, or on other Penguin Lives, there are just useless comments on why this is lecture is good. So what do you think about that? Thank you very much.
Is that from Daniel Rothwell?
Yes, it is, yes. Very good question. Two questions. We'll take them in order. What's your thoughts on the first one?
I can tell you my thoughts directly and quickly. Red bicycle cards for signing cards, so if you want things signed on the back, because the signature pops off it. And they're a good sign. Blue bicycle cards for gaffs. So if you're going to gaff a card, use blue bicycle cards, because the blue hides shadows from where you have cuts and layers and things on there. And that's pretty much my rule. I don't personally see any distinction between the audience. They don't react differently to different colors, but the colors can help you enhance your performance for them. As opposed to the other part of the question, which is using anything but bicycle cards they find different. In the UK, bicycles are not normal playing cards. So any cards work. The number one tip for me is just, if you say to your audience, hey, this is a normal deck, they're going to think that it's not a normal deck. Just hand them the deck to shuffle and begin. That's it.
I agree.
That's it. Deck is a normal deck, as long as they can feel it.
I got nothing to add to that. I mean, that's exactly the same. I completely and totally 100% agree with you. My working deck is a red deck because the signatures show up better on the backs. I have gaff decks that are blue. I have no problem using custom packs. At the end of the day, we're magicians. We're meant to have, you know, access to the best of what, you know, tools that we need to ply our trade. And if that means it's a fancy Providence deck or whatever it is, then so be it. You know, I grab whatever deck I've got around to hand when I go out and perform. Sometimes it's a bicycle deck, sometimes it's a Providence deck. The other day I grabbed a deck. I was running off to a gig and I didn't have a deck of cards in my close-up case. And I was like, right, go and grab a deck of cards and put it in my close-up case and get to the gig. And when I got there, it was a fucking hot dog deck. One of his hot dogs.
Perfect.
Fucking pictures of hot dogs all over the front of the cards. That's I'm amazing. Like, oh, okay, go for it. So it makes no difference really from my point of view, you know,
as long as it matters. This is my answer when, if I've ever been asked if I'm using it. Craig, ask me if this deck is a trick deck.
Is this deck a trick deck, Lloyd?
No.
That's funny.
It's that fucking simple.
Yeah. I love that. And
when you're overproven, you know, that's it.
You know, I completely agree with that 100%. This is kind of scary. We're just completely on track together here. We seem to be...
we're succinct. Blue back cards or darker color cards for gimmicking your decks is a really important tip, because they hide shadows better. And a lot of people build these complicated card gimmicks and use fucking red bikes and then film it with the wrong lighting or perform it in the wrong lighting and twat themselves. So the second part of the question is, should reviews be allowed if they're made anonymously on websites like Penguin, other places? I think they shouldn't be. That's just me. I don't know if that's controversial or not.
I love some of the one-star reviews. He specifically mentioned the Quantum Deck. I love some of the one-star reviews on the Quantum Deck. It's delightfully shit. Like these people are just idiots.
Still in the top 20, by the way, after like 4 months or however long.
Yeah. Like people, like I'm just reading some of these. I'll just read a couple of that to you. I mean, people's opinions are valid and that's fine, but there's some fucking idiots out there. Biggest problem, letting spectators handle the deck. This cannot be examined at all. Okay, whatever. I think we've gone through that a million times. The idea is great, but the method is terrible. I wasn't able to deal the cards as cleanly as expected. The spectator is going to be burning your hands, watching you dealing the cards one by one because they're looking for their card in the deck. It puts the focus where you really don't want them to. This is not good for close-up magic. It's only going to be good for stage. I don't perform on stage. It's going on the shelf for me. How many performance videos did I perform?
There's actually not that many one-star reviews, but the ones that are there... It will fool laymen, but not magicians. Therefore, the trailer was misleading. What the fuck? It definitely fools magicians because there's footage of you fucking fooling magicians and there's footage of you fooling magicians live in the deck, with the deck in their hands. It's, if it fools every magician, it's debatable. But to just be, for people to be so categorical in their ignorance is, it's an interest, it's an impressive thing to read, to see people so confidently wrong.
I know.
So anyway, that's Daniel's question is, before we get sidetracked, is should they be allowed if they're anonymous?
No, I think that you should stand by your review. I absolutely think you should stand by your review 100%. If you feel like you need to give your opinion on a product, that's fair enough. I do a fucking review show. I give my opinion on products every single week. However, you know who I am. My name's Craig Petty. Look me up. I know who I am. I don't hide behind some weak-ass, fake-ass fucking username. I say who I am. Have convictions when it comes to your opinions.
It's accountability, isn't it? Because anyone can write a review anonymously. And as you've seen in those examples, they can lie. So if you're going to tell lies, I think you need to be accountable for those lies. I mean, we've crossed this previously, in a major sort of topic of discussion for everyone. But yeah, I think reviews must be or should be made with your name attached to it. I think it's absolutely fine to talk shit about a product if you don't like it. If you don't like it, you can personally say, I don't like this product. I think it's shit, whatever the product is. But if you're going to make reviews like that, like one guy says, like one review here that says it cannot be fully inspected as the ad copy says, even though time and time again, you've proven, I've proven, other people have proven, the fucking trailer proves that it can be fully inspected by the audience. Like someone like that, there's no hope for them. They're fucked because they can't understand fact. If you can't understand fact, then you're fucking fucked. Like you're a flat earther. So those people, like when you put up an anonymous, when you anonymously make a review that like spits in the face of proof and tells a lie, then what does it do for everyone? And anyone. People are not going to buy that product who would love it because they think you're telling the truth and you're lying. It hurts the creator's reputation of something which is not true. It damages the company that sells the effect, not just Murphy's, but Penguin, who buy it from Murphy's. It makes their reputation look bad. Nobody benefits from anonymous reviews. Even if the review is good review, if people review it saying, for example, the Quantum deck is amazing. Every single card, it's a completely ungimmicked deck. And they tell lies about it that make it look better than what it is. That's negative as well. That does nothing for everyone. But if you're accountable and your name is attached to it, then you can go, hey, by the way, I've read your review. You're talking shit. So are you willing to explain yourself and defend that? And you should be forced to remove it.
I've trashed a lot of products. Physically and metaphorically.
You've cut some of the scissors, you've thrown them in the bin and set them on fire and steam and dumps on them.
Yeah, but every single time I've done it, people know who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I've explained why it's terrible. I've explained
because you can
why
stand behind your word as a man. You've got integrity.
And I've gone out and I've tried it. I've at least before I've got it to the point where I can perform it, which is why I'm so passionate about performing every trick I review. How can I review an item if I've not got it to a point where I can perform it? Because I might make assumptions about that trick based on theoretical knowledge whilst actually being able to perform it. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you know what I mean? Or maybe I'm right. So yeah, I think it's very important to actually, as a reviewer, perform a trick. And I'm willing to bet most of the people that are saying the quantum deck can't be done close up. I've never actually performed it. But I mean, what the fuck ever? I mean, you know, there's no point. There's so many, you know, there's so much performance footage out there of people performing it. I was doing it all day at Wessex Magic Convention right there. I stood on Peter Nardi's stand. And I demmed the quantum deck. He was the only dealer with the quantum deck. People kept coming up to him and asking him to show it. He didn't do it. I went up. I was on his stand for an hour, and he sold every single quantum deck he had. Now, the people that were coming up to the fucking stand to watch me do the quantum deck, they were right next to me. It wasn't like I was like, okay, I'm going to do the quantum deck now. Would you like to just walk to the other end of the dealer hall so that you can watch me from over there, please? Because this can only be performed from 50 fucking meters away. No, they were right there with me. I was behind the Alakazam stand. There was a close-up pad, and then there were them. And they come up one at a time, asked to see it. I demmed it on them. And as soon as I demmed it, they handed me the money and said, please, can we have that quantum deck? Now, this is magicians who notoriously don't like spending money on anything, don't like giving money away, and trying to get money out of a magician is like trying to get blood out of a fucking stone.
As a side note, before we get detracted from the question in hand, because you've proven more than enough to the context. Fucking, yeah. You know, it's probably going to end up being the trick of the year, to be honest. Those one-star reviews also came at the same time. All those one-star reviews sort of came in at the same time period, so I think you can guess why they appeared there. So I don't think we need to go on it, but so I just looked at the dates of them now, and it's like, oh, okay, never mind. Again, another reason to not put anonymous reviews up.
Yeah,
but fancy, are we gonna ever be able fancy, to change fancy. It
oh
yeah,
it, exactly
is there anything we can do? Can you pull a few strings with Ajar?
Well, I don't know Ajar. Maybe I'll go knocking on his door.
And then you'll give me a free
product. Yeah, they make me laugh. They make me laugh. The bad reviews just make me laugh. You know, I love
a good bad review on my products. When they're like, you know what, this could have been better, and I think it's failed because it's a point which is relevant, and I think, fucking great. Yeah, you know what, I didn't notice that. I didn't see that. Or I could have done that better, and to improve it. For my future releases, I can't stand reviewers that lie or have an agenda, you know, an alternative motive for leaving a bad review.
Yeah, I mean, I get shit all the time. I ignore most of it. I just had this one come this morning. I have just watched Chop. You are a cunt.
Oh, sorry, that was my review.
All right, I've just watched Chop. Yeah, he had the, you know, he actually sent it over to me, which was quite nice by email. I've just talked to Chop. You are a cunt. You are bad for magic. Magic sucks because of you. Take the Sharpie and shove it up your ass. Best regards.
Who from?
A guy called John Station. Now, I don't know if that's a real name or not.
Let's have a look. Did he send it by email?
Huh?
Did he send it by email?
Yeah, I get like one a day. I had one today from the. I had one today for the Beyond Stebbins project. This got rave reviews. The Beyond Stebbins project. Get this, I'm 30 minutes into the video. Nothing new yet. It's the sound quality is terrible. It sounds like you use the same Radio Shack microphone that you use when you record your shitty YouTube rants from your laundry room at your house. I expected more from Alakazam. I hope the effect compensates for the lack of production value, but it probably won't. That's the thing, isn't it? You put yourself out there, you're gonna get shit.
Really? What? Let me read one that I got. I've fucking seen one. Give me a second.
I'm excited.
All right. So I put my thing up, my video up called, what was it called, the video? Holy Grail of Card Tricks Exposed. Clickbait, right? Because you've got to get, this is what you do to get views. The trick, I don't know if you've seen it. Katie takes the deck, shuffles it. She gets, I chuck her about half the deck of cards. She shuffles that, then she thinks of one and proceeds forward from it, right?
Yeah.
So then it says, this guy wrote, Mental Magic 16 hours ago wrote, shuffled pack, brackets, 20 cards that you selected for her. Not really mentalism per se, more like elimination to their card. definitely not the Holy Grail by far.
Oh, if you want to go onto YouTube comments, I got some doozies.
I don't get that much hate on mine, but then again, I'm not also quite literally destroying people's work. I say work loosely, a lot of it. I mean, a lot of stuff you review is so shit that it deserves to be destroyed.
I have some really fun ones. I can't find them now. I love this one. This is the sort of get that I get. Can you see that? Guy called Stephen. Hang on. Guy called Shea Blades. Can you see it?
Hold it back. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Question: why are you such an ignorant prick?
I get stuff like that daily. Question: why are you such an ignorant prick?
Because the backlash makes me horny.
All you care about is sales. You lie to people with a straight face. You are the devil. Got that one. The devil.
Oh, we need to print these out and make like a massive collage of it or something.
We need to do something. It's just funny.
On about the devil one. I in the past I have had people. Have you seen these where they comment about how like witchcraft and devilry is bad? And I'm going like I've had people say I'm going to hell for witchcraft and shit on my comments. And it's like, dude, they're magic tricks. It's like I can't actually melt a fucking light bulb inside to a bottle. You fucking.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine if that was actually the case? Just before I'm going to the gig, hey Sarah, I need my props for the gig. Have you got my props? Yeah. Also, can you bring the goat out the back? I'm going to be doing 3 hours, and I need to go sacrifice that motherfucker. Like.
We used to have 3 kids, but I suddenly want to do the ambitious fucking deck for a living. All right, we have one more message from Tom Justin Mullinger.
Yeah, because I've got to go. I'm going to be letting the magic circle down. The last one.
You're already going to be doing that, Craig. You've already done that plenty of times.
Some point soon, I'm sure they'll hate me. Right.
Just catching up on the podcast. Name given to people that sleep with magicians are bunnies.
Really?
Start that from the beginning because I didn't hear the opening and it needs to be louder.
He basically just wanted to let us know because on last week's podcast, we talked about what's the collective term for people that sleep with magicians.
Oh, yeah.
And Tom Mullinger, Jester Styles, who I'm sure has had a lot of experience of this subject because he's a pretty boy and sexy as fuck. He says apparently it's bunnies. Girls that sleep with magicians are called bunnies or chuckle fuckers.
That's hilarious.
Bunnies or chuckle fuckers. So there you go. If anybody would know that, Tom would know that. So there we go. Thank you, Tom. So there you go. Officially, if you're a girl and you like sleeping with magicians, well, fucking get mental health check or something because you're weird. Anyway, that's about it this week, isn't it? You know, thanks to Tom, we've lowered the tone back down to ground zero. I've got to go. Have you got anything to add? Please say no. The snooker's on. The snooker's on. You can go watch the snooker.
Oh, snooker. Okay.
There you go. See, we'll be. It's like a squirrel. Look over there. We'll be back.
Ooh, a peanut.
We'll be back next Wednesday. With any luck, at some point we'll be able to get this special guest on that we keep fucking over. Unfortunately, the problem is either Lloyd's got the shits, I'm really busy. Lloyd's going on holiday, I'm really busy. Lloyd's fucking sheep, I'm really busy. There's always something going on. Either to do with Wales or to do with business. And I don't know if it's going to happen in the next week or two because Lloyd's got Lux coming out and I've got a feeling he's going to be very busy with that. Apologising to all the poor people that can't get one. That's probably going to take a long time. I'm so sorry. You're going to have to put another heartfelt video. You know, like when you had to change over Cognito and you did that really lovely video. Guys, just want to say I'm sorry. Let me tell you about the issues with Cognito. This is what happened. It was lovely.
They don't like me anymore.
It was a beautiful emotional moment, and I think we need to have that. Guys, for everybody that's wanting to buy Lux and cards, I'd like to apologise. It's not me. It's the people at Murphy's. Nobody. They didn't order enough. So,
right, fuck off to the magic circle. Have a shit day.
We'll be back on the podcast next week. Thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget to check out the official Magic Podcast Instagram channel that we never fucking post on. Please make sure that you check out the official Magic Podcast Facebook page, which we never fucking post on. Don't forget to check out the official
we do actually post on there.
No, that's the discussion group, Lloyd, that we go into.
Oh, right, okay.
That's a different thing. You didn't even realise there was a Facebook page, but there is. I think we've got 7 likes. But don't forget to go on the official Magic podcast discussion group where we do go and post. And it's a lovely little vibrant community. Check out Lloyd's channel. What you got going up tonight, Lloyd?
You got a good trip? Nothing tonight. But Sunday, I got a Sunday special live with, because last week you let me down live on air, so I'll get it, with Kim Anderson.
Oh, wow, that's a get. That's brilliant.
Yeah, so
he's
the guest on Sunday's live, so you hopefully show up some goodies, some new stuff, which will be great.
So there you go. Kim Anderson is going to be on Lloyd's channel, so make sure you go check that out.
And what's coming up next for you? Who's we got interviewing?
Oh, tonight, fuck the interview. Well, I've got Mark Leverage on Saturday, but tonight, as you're listening to this podcast, go check out Magic TV, because every Sunday I do a Q&A and I answer people's questions. Well, this Friday on Magic TV, I'm doing the alternate Q&A and I'm answering my haters' questions. One of them was, why are you such an insufferable prick? You want to know the answer? Check out Magic TV, Friday, 9 o'clock. We'll be back next Wednesday. See you again soon. I'm Craig.
I'm Lloyd.
We'll see you again soon.
Motherfucker.
And on that, we're out.
All right, bye.
We apologize for disrupting your normal daily schedule. You may now relax, tuck your deck back in, and resume your regular day-to-day life. Remember to subscribe to be notified the moment each new episode goes live every Wednesday. And join our Facebook group to continue the conversation. The link is in the description to this podcast. Thank you for listening to The Magic Podcast.